top of 94A. Now it's like Dalam and Aleph. So, Halacha Dalet, the 10th parak of, what's it say here?
Trumos.
What's it say? Oh, Botzel. Botzel. It says at the top of English. Botzel. It's Botzel Shinosta. Okay, very good. Never noticed that before. They say Chulin Shekvashim, they say Truma. So now we're talking about, we're going to talk about the brine of two types of olives that are soaking in the brine, in the salt solution. So what is the rule with the brine? That's why we're going to learn the Mishnah, okay? There are a lot of ways to learn this Mishnah.
Is brine equal to the fruit or not?
Is brine equal fruit? That's like a, you know, BR squared equals FR over 1.
Yeah, that's irrelevant.
That's what we're going to talk about. So let's see what it says. That's an introductory remark to the Mishnah. It doesn't say anything. It just says, Zayseh Chulon Shekvashim, Zayseh Truma. These are the rules. These are some cases. That is just introduction. So now we're going to say the rules. It's as follows, as it says in the English. So Psuei Chulin in Psuei Truma. Psuei means they've been chopped up. So they're not whole. What?
Injured,
yeah. Petzatachas Patzah, correct. So you have crushed chulin together with crushed truma olives, or you have petzuei chulin im shleimei truma. You have crushed chulin with whole olives that are truma, ol b'mei truma, or you have crushed chulin olives with water that had been previously soaked with truma. So you start off with truma. Put some truma into some salt solution. Let it soak, let's say, overnight. I don't know.
And then remove. And then remove. It has to be 24
and then,
hours,
and
right?
No. Maybe no. It depends whether you hold it. A salt solution is has a... Kavush Kamavushal is normally a din that takes 24 hours, but there are exceptions where it could be sped up. And
like
brine. Brine, the Dabar Harif... I'm not getting into that detail. Whatever it is, so you soaked it for whatever the shear is, and then you removed the olives, and now
he
you.
Says, the Hebrew says me melach.
Right. Okay. Right. Fine.
I'm saying it's not especially charif or anything.
The salt solution may be different. It may be different.
By you, in the English, it says.
It might be different. That's all I'm going to say. I don't have the detail right now on my fingertips. Let's just pay attention to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says,
brine is a salt water solution.
Yes. So if you have olives that are broken up in a water of truma, so all of these cases, what do they all have in common? The chulin are patsua. Okay. All these cases we just mentioned, they've all been crushed, right? So in that case, also there we say that the chulin will absorb the taste of the truma and will therefore be also for azar to eat. Okay? Now, avol, here we come to the important case. Shleime chulin, if you have whole olives that are chulin, im pitsue truma, with crushed truma olives, that case mutter, there it's mutter. Because obviously there's something about whole olives that make them impervious to absorption of the ta'am.
Would the same thing be true the other way around?
No.
Would you have whole truma olives and crushed chulin?
We had that was the second case.
We said it's aser.
That's the second case.
Whole truma olives.
Suei chulin im shleimei truma. That's the third line over there.
So there, the wholeness of the olives does not impede the transfer.
Correct. Very good. Exactly. So what's going on? Ask Shopsy. What is going on over here? Right. Very good. Okay, we're gonna see how this all works. This is very interesting. There are gonna be certain scientific rules that we're gonna come out with over here, which are a little weird, but we're gonna see all this in due time. So mutter. It's so shleimei chulin and psuei truma is mutter. Now, Let's see here. Now, the diuk you really have to make here is in the Mishnah. What about, hold on a second, what about the case of the maid truma? Notice how it says, Avol shlei michulin im pitzuei truma. What about the case of shlei michulin with maid truma? Why did it say?
Where does it talk about maid? Anything?
No. The second case. Tzuei chulin im shlei maid truma, oba maid truma was awesome. So that means that crushed olives with water that's truma, it absorbs the water. So now if I have shlei mechulin with water, what would be the din?
With water that's truma.
Water that's truma.
Isn't that the third line?
No, it's not.
Tzuei chulin im shlei maid truma, oba maid truma.
That's tzuei chulin. I'm talking about if you had shlei mechulin. Whole olives in truma water. What would be the din then? The Mishnah doesn't say.
The Mishnah left out that case. I'm just pointing it out. Are they like onions, that are impervious?
We're gonna speak this out in a second. The way I'm going to learn this Mishnah, the Mishnah left it out on purpose because that case is going to be awesome. The reason the Mishnah only mentioned Shlei Mechulin in Petsuei Truma and didn't mention Shlei Mechulin with Mei Truma because that case is going to be Usser. It's not going to be Mutter.
All these cases are Mutter.
No. Only case that's Mutter is the last case. Shlei Mechulin in Petsuei Truma. Now, of course, Shlei Mechulin with Shlei Mei Truma, that's for sure going to be Mutter because that's for sure mutter, right? If with psue truma it's mutter, surely with shleime truma it's going to be mutter. Because it's easier to get tom out of something that's chopped up than it is to get tom out of something that's whole. That's for sure. So that case is for sure mutter. The question is going to be, what about the shleime chulin with the mei truma? That's going to be awesome.
And the whole mission is talking about olives and olives, right?
Yeah. In footnote 4 in the brackets, you will see he brings down this Rosh Tiri Leo. He infers from the Gemara below, which we're going to see soon, that whole olives remain permitted only when pickled with whole or crushed truma olives. However, when they're pickled with truma water, they're forbidden. For although there's no transfer of flavor from the whole or crushed truma to whole hulin, there is a transfer of flavor from truma water the whole chulin olives. We'll see the Gemara why.
You mean, is the water more or less than the crushed?
I'm going to skip to the chase now to try to explain what's going on here. This is a claw you got to know for the Gemara. Anyway, we're going to have to get these chulin straight. The rule is like this. When you have whole olives only do one thing.
What? Olives are what? Truma?
I'm talking about the nature of the olives right now. Okay. The nature of olives are that they first absorb their surroundings, then they expel what they absorbed. But that's it. It's one cycle and one cycle only. After that, it will not absorb anything.
Hold on one second.
I want to explain why this is critical to what we're to understand this Mishnah. Whole, it goes in, it goes out, and that's it. So, if you have an olive in brine, you have olives that are whole, that are truma, olives that are whole, that are chulin. So what's going to happen is both olives are going to absorb the brine, which is 100% mutter at this point. There's no tom in the brine at all. The brine goes into both olives. Then both olives excrete their bleus. And so now I have a mixture of brine.
But they don't pick it up here.
But that brine is a mixture of, but the olives will remain mutter, right?
Because they don't absorb
anything.
No,
they will not. They will no longer absorb because right, once they only, it only goes in one time. But if you started off with mei truma, if you started off with water that was truma, and then you put in the whole olive that's hulin, now the first entrance
right.
into the olive is mei truma.
Right.
That is going to become osur.
We don't say that what came out.
No, we don't say that. We assume that some remain. Some will remain
even
inside.
The
Kabbalah Kachpalto
is not a volume. Exactly.
I'm not letting it call in right now. I don't know the whole thing right now. I'm not holding it. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I'm not holding it. Kabbalah Kachpalto might be. It's coming out. You're right, but I mean, it could be a din. That's a din by Kalim. It's not necessarily by Eichlim. I don't know. Okay, that's one of the quotes. He actually quotes that the Rash implies that whole olives are permitted even with pickled water, but with truma water. But that's not the that is the basic thing. Now the last thing we want to just cover before we go on in this Mishnah is this note over here after that. The Rash and the Rush ask a fundamental question, right? It's a fundamental question. We said that pickling equates to cooking, like you said, kavash kamavushal, right? So if you cook, if I were to boil whole olives with truma with whole olives that are hulin, it's going to answer it. There's no question about it. That's bishul of isurim together and give time to each other. It doesn't matter whether whole or chopped up. So why, if it's kavash kamavushal, all of a sudden, are we coming up with these fine distinctions over here? That's the Rishonim's question. It makes sense, the question? So it says over here, to resolve this difficulty, Rash and Rosh cite the Gemara below, which in their opinion amends the text of every Mishnah in this parak. Wherever it says Kvashon, they change the word to Shlika. So Shlika, although Shlika in the Bavli means overcooking, in the context of the Yerushalmi, it's going to mean partially cooked. So all the cases in our perek are not necessarily pickled cases. They might be partially cooked cases. That's what you said. Kind of like that. So accordingly, they conclude our Mishnah's leniency applies only concerning olives that were partially cooked together. If they were kavush 24 hours, they would be kalach like mavushal, and that would for sure answer them in any case. That's what it says over here. Anyway, so this Mishnah, I just gave you part of the story. This Mishnah, there's another way to read this whole Mishnah. It's just completely different. Well, let's just leave it alone for now. It gets really complicated. Maybe this is not the Mishnah I'm referring to. No, that the complicated was the next one. Sorry. Let's go to the next Mishnah. I'll talk about that. Okay. So when I just told you that rule of how things are polite, that's the first Gemara the Yerushalmi is going to say. What I did not tell you about was if that what I told you was about whole olives, but if you have crushed olives, then it's a cycle that repeats itself. It'll first absorb, it'll spit out. It'll absorb, spit out. It'll continue to do that. So that'll explain why there's a difference. So if I have cut up chulin olives with cut up truma olives, it'll become osur because they're being pilot and boleya. Okay? Yeah. Zosomaris, the Gemara says, Amar Byoina. So Samaras, the Mishnah says, suin, bolin, opultin, v'chosin, opultin. Then if you have chopped up stuff, it's boleya, it's polite, then it's chosin, it's boleya. Shleiman, if you have whole olives, then bolin, opultin, v'oid, einon, bolin. They boleya, they absorb, then they secrete, and beyond that, they do not absorb again. That explains that shot.
Everybody holds that, or?
That's what Rabbeinu is explaining. The Gemara says, Hadon Amra, So we're going to draw an inference from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about what kind of oblia, what kind of tam are we talking about? Talking about olive, tam of olives, tam of olives. It's not shevach and it's not pogum.
Neutral.
It's neutral. It's the same taste. It's olives. These are olives. These are olives. No, no difference. No, they're shoveh. Hatam hu shoveh.
Yeah.
Same. So that's the Gemara saying. Hado onlo. Lo l'shavach v'lo l'fikam asur. Right? You see that if the tam of a truma olive goes into a chulin olive, it's going to asur that olive. Even though it's the same taste, right? So the Gemara says, Masnisa d'Reb Shimon. D'Reb Shimon Omar is in halav gam is also. So the Gemara tries to say that this kind of is like Reb Shimon. In other words, what does nice and tall of gum have to do with anything here? What's nice and tall of gum? We're talking about where it's shove it. Why is the Gemara talking about nice and tall of gum?
We're saying it's not shove it.
If it's not shevach,
it's like pagam. The Gemara seems to be saying something like that. At this point, the Gemara is not sure exactly what this means. Eight, the Gemara appears to be equating a detrimental flavor with a flavor that neither enhances nor impairs. The Gemara seems to be making them the same. If one is permitted, the other is also. If one is forbidden, so is the other. Okay. The Gemara is going to shrug this off. The Gemara first says, V'chal, you're quoting Reb Shimon wrong. Reb Shimon, Omar, Nais and Talmud Gam is Mutter. V'chal, I'm not quoting him right. It's Reb Meir holds Nais and Talmud Gam is awesome. Reb Shimon holds it's Mutter. So what are you talking about? Kahados. The Gemara is going to refine what it means. There's another Reb Shimon. There's a Reb Shimon in another context where he talks about two different types of cabbage. This is actually a Mishnah later on in the Perek, where you have cabbages which are from a irrigated field, and you have cabbages from a field that's has enough rain. The rain is adequate to, like we've had the past week, plenty of rain to feed any cabbage. So if the cabbage that's from an irrigation, that cabbage is going to have less water supply, and it's going to be therefore more thirsty, and will suck up or absorb more. It's more of an absorption. So if let's suppose you have two cabbages, the cabbage of Chulin was grown in the irrigated field, the cabbage of Truma was grown in the
rain field,
and they were together, soaked together. So then the Chulin cabbage will absorb from the Truma cabbage and become osur.
What are they soaked in?
Water. I don't know, whatever it says. I let me see. Let's see what it says. Well, we're not going to say. I'm sorry. Forget about it. Was soaked. Shlalko. They were cooked together.
Cooked together.
Sorry about that. Reb Shimon Omer. Let's do it inside. Kadosh. Reb Shimon Omer. Crucial shakya. You have irrigated field cabbage. Shlalko and crucial baal. It was cooked with rain water. Awesome. It's awesome. They shoot balea. It's going to be doleya. It's thirsty, right? So the flavor. So the point here is.
You think the rain water field is more.
You would think it was the other way around, but I also thought. My initial reaction was, sure, of course, something is just rain. You know, it's not as often as being fed water and flooding the fields with water. But the Gemara holds not like that. The Gemara holds, you're going to be cheap on watering the field, and rain, it's going to be plenty of rain. So I'll call upon him, that's what it says. So what do you see from this dinner of Shimon? They're the same tom, right? You've got cabbage and cabbage. One is a little bit drier than the other, but they're basically the same tom. And you see nonetheless that it's osur. It's osur. So you see, this is the Reb Shimon they're referring to. So Mela, when we said before, I want to see where it says it. Just a second. Yeah, in the middle of the second paragraph, in the middle of the first paragraph of 13, it says, I just want to fall back to what we said earlier that it's like Reb Shimon holds nice and tam of gam is osur. What do we mean by that? When the Gemara initially stated that the Mishnah is reflective of Reb Shimon, it meant to say that it is reflective of Reb Shimon who prohibits a flavor even when it does not enhance the food into which it was absorbed. The Gemara refers to such a flavor as detrimental because it does not enhance. Okay, so there you have what the Gemara is explaining now, what the footnote is explaining what it meant before. So it doesn't sound like the Gemara is stomping. What's going on over here? What would you start off saying, nice to tell Nafgam, and then start telling me something about cabbages? Like, what's one thing got to do with the other? So this is the pshat. This is what we meant, right? If it doesn't enhance it, then we're calling it Lefgam, but the main thing we're focused on is when it's the same, Reb Shimon holds that one ashes the other. And we prove that from the cabbage case, okay? And that's basically it. That's the end of this page. Okay, so now. Okay, so I said something I think before which was incorrect. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah. When I started this, I started off saying that we're talking about the brine. I was getting mixed up. That's the next Mishnah. This Mishnah was about the olives. We weren't talking about the brine at all here. This Mishnah is about the olives. In case anybody was following closely, the opening remark I made when I started the Mishnah was totally wrong. So forget about that remark I made about brine. This is the Shiloh of olives and brine. It's brine. It's talking about brine. But it is brine. But it's the Shiloh, though, is not the brine itself. The Shiloh is the olives in this Mishnah. Okay? The next Mishnah, which is an Tzadik Dalam and Beis, is a shiloh about the brine, according to the Mepharshim that we're looking at here. It's a shiloh, I had to learn the Mishnah here. Okay, Dag Tomei, let's talk about the base. Dag Tomei Shekavosho Im Dag Tohar. You have a treifa fish, this is Mam Shaitan Kesedra, okay? Koshein lo yisapir v'kaskesis lo sechelu. Right? What's the rule? If something, right? Snapir is what? Snapir is the fins, kaskesis is the scales. In halacha it says, and in the Gemara also, if something has scales, it's biyadua, it has fins, right? If something has fins, you don't know, you have to check. Okay.
Every
fish has fins.
Right.
Yeah. Except the, what are those little horses that go through the water?
Seahorses.
They don't have any fins. They just somehow buzz along. Yeah. Okay, so dog tamei shekvasha im dog tahar. If you soaked pickled is a better word. Yeah, if you pickled non kosher fish with kosher fish, so then what's the din with the brine? So it's like this. So we're gonna have three shitas. What the shear is for the ratio of tray fish to the brine. And whether the kosher fish is mitzaref or not is going to be a shayla in the Gemara. But for the time being, let's just learn that we're talking about the ratio of non-kosher fish to the brine to be considered to be usher or to be butcher. So the Gemara is going to have three sheets.
So the kosher does not come into equation.
Not yet. We're going to see. So kol garav shehu maksek b'sohaim. If you have a barrel that holds two saw of content. If there are 10 zuzim, which is a weight measure, that's a weight, because there's a silver content to a coin. So a zuz is a weight measure, not a volume, okay? But that we're gonna clarify that later in the Gemara. But if you have, and one other thing to be aware of is that in Yehuda was double the content of silver over that of Galil. So therefore, if you had a one zuz of silver in Yehuda, will require two zuz in the Galil. And therefore, 10 zuz in Yehuda will require how many zuz in Galil?
20.
If you convert 20 to sela, that's 5 sela because there's 4 zuz to the sela. So that's what the Mishnah says, Shein chameishlam b'galil. Dog tummy. So if you have 10 zuz of dog tummy in a two saw barrel, So then, siro osur, the Tanakama holds that's when it's osur. If it's any more than that, or I should say any less than that, and that shear is one part in 960. Okay?
So, I think so that's, what are we're talking about the weight of these coins?
I'm going to get into the math. I'm going to get to the math later. I need to ask you to just bear with me because we're going to get to the math when we get to the Gemara. Just for now, let's just make it very simple.
Yeah.
Just accept what I'm telling you. The shear is one part in 960. 10 zuz in two saw is a ratio of 1 to 960. That is what's osur. Anything less than that will be mutter. So 1 in 961 will be mutter. Okay? That's the Tanakhama.
960.
1 to 960. Okay? So this is the best way to do it. The best way is just halzachain, and we'll get to the math in a second. Rabbi Yehuda, believe me, it's not going to be long. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a revius besosayim. It's actually not 960, but it's, what's the number?
192.
192, which is close to 200. Okay, so that's the shear. One revius in, okay, here he gives you the measure over here. A revius is like this. He gives the calculation in footnote 4. It's simple. There are 4 log in a kav. 6 kav in a saw. So, again, we're talking about a barrel which holds 2 saw. So, we're going to double it at the end, but let's just deal with 1 saw first. 1 saw holds 24 logit, right? That's 6 kav times 4 log is 24 log to a saw. So, if there's 2 saw, it's going to be 48 log. Or 192 revius. You multiply by 4. 4 times 48 is 192, right? Revius is a quarter of a log. So if it has 48 log and 2 saw, so that's equal to 48 times 4 to get the quarters, and it's 192. So he holds that if it's one part in 192, then that will be osur. If it's less than that, as he says here, if it's one part in 193 or less, then it will be mutter.
So it's becoming more mutter.
More cool of it.
No. That's 1 in 960. This is 1 in
9. 1 in 960 makes it usher.
Right. And 192 it makes it usher. So that's a bigger, it's a bigger measurement. Yeah, it's a bigger measurement. You're right. Yeah, it's a bigger measurement.
It's a cool
one,
yeah?
Yes, it's a
okay, measure. Okay. Yeah. I want to make sure I'm not losing it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It takes a lot less chulin
right.
to be mavato the iser according to Rabbi Yehuda than it does according to Tanakama.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And now we have a third shita, which is whom?
Rabbi Yasser.
Rabbi Yasser, Omer, Echad Mishishosimo, 1/16. So I'm not even going to do a calculation, just it's 1/16, okay? Fine. Hagavim, now there's a big shaila in Rishayim how to learn this Mishnah. We just learned it. I forgot who it was, Rambam. But there's a whole new way to read the Mishnah. I think there's actually 3 ways to read the Mishnah. But I'm not going to get into the different ways right now. Okay? If you want to stay late, we can stay late and we can go over the alternative ways to read the Mishnah.
After
Chatzos. After Chatzos. Higia is my creation. Chagovim tameim shnech b'shuim chagovim tahirim. Now what happens if you have grasshoppers, which were non-kosher, that were pickled together with kosher grasshoppers? So lo paslo es tiron. Their brine is not forbidden. Okay?
So they're different than
which,
fish.
Which means, very different than fish, correct. Very good. It's different than fish. And that's one of the questions on the bottom. He asked the question. He said,
because nobody eats grasshopper.
Oh, sure they do.
He says, like here. In number 6, again, we're talking about if it would be by itself, if the grasshopper, which is non kosher, would be by itself without any kosher, it certainly would be osur, obviously, right? It's only because it's together with kosher, and there's no shir to it. Any shir of kosher will is mavatalet, because since it's a dindar abanon, they were makel. That's what it says over here. Now, this is so because the brine of non-kosher grasshoppers is merely the sweat of the non-kosher grasshopper. And the rabbis prohibited it only when it is pure, not when it mixes with kosher brine. There's no shear for that. Okay? Now, the next paragraph is what you asked. While we have learned that they did decree the non-kosher fish brine prohibited, even when it mixes with kosher fish brine, nevertheless, they did not decree so concerning non-kosher grasshopper brine, because it does not have blood.
What do you mean? Grasshoppers don't have blood?
I guess not.
That's what it says.
They have something. They have some, something green. They have something green. I guess it's not blood.
They have the same blood as fish do.
Yes. Okay, whatever it is. It's a different madrega. Okay, let's go right to the Gemara. Tony Rabbi Huda ben Pazi Devar
Deloya. Wait a minute.
You... Hey, Rabbi Tzadok.
Yeah, you didn't finish.
Did I skip something? Oh, sorry. Finally. Hey, Rabbi Tzadok al Tzir Chagom Tameim Shuhu Tohar. He said, Eidos, Rabbi Tzadok said, that if you have the brine of non-kosher grasshoppers, it's kosher. In other words, even when it's in undiluted form, straight form, also mutter. It's tohar. The last line of tonight's daf is going to talk about this last piece. We're going to get to it. Why he used the language of tohar. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi bar Loya, Dar tohar tofel shukavashim dag tamei meliach osur. If you have unsalted kosher fish pickled with non-kosher fish, obviously the non-kosher fish is salted, right? Why he left that out? I don't know why he left it out in the translation.
Maliyah.
It says it. I know. I'm just saying that was pickled with a non-kosher fish. It should say the non-kosher fish that is salted. It's rendered forbidden, right? 10. What's 10 say? The unsalted kosher fish absorbs the brine secreted by the non-kosher fish and is thus prohibited.
Right.
Again, it's because it was salted, right?
Yes.
I don't know. If you had two unsalted fish, I don't know whether they would absorb, right? I don't know.
If you had duck tummy and duck tar,
and the duck tummy was not maliyah, it doesn't sound to me like it would be awesome.
Isn't that what the Mishnah
said? Yeah, keep on
going. Anyway, let's go on.
Marbaksha.
So if the Gemara asks a kasha, v'hatani reb chiyah.
Depends on
the
amount.
He said that you can just take water, rinse off your kosher fish from the brine on the outside, and the fish is mutter. So you see what? You see it does not absorb. So how come you're telling me in this previous brisa that it does absorb? That's the question. So we have two brises, right? Brisa number one is Rabbi Huda bar Pazi, and he says that it does absorb. Brisa number two from Rabbi Chiya says it does not absorb. You just... So what do you do with the two brises? In the second brisa, where we say that you can just rinse it off and it's mutter, that's where you put the two of them into the mix together.
At the same time.
Right? Simultaneously. 13, since the kosher and non-kosher were placed at the same time, they both first absorb the pickling solution, which of course is mutter at that moment because nothing's happened. Then they simultaneously, because at the same time,
so it sounds like the olives
begin to secrete, exactly, begin to secrete their brine. Accordingly, the whole kosher fish does not absorb any brine from the non-kosher fish, for initially, before the non-kosher fish begins secreting, it absorbs the permitted pickling solution. And when its secretion process does begin, the whole kosher fish does not absorb any non-kosher brine for a whole fish, cannot absorb it more than once, okay? That's the Yesod HaDavar. It's just like the olives. If it's whole, it only absorbs one time. Don't ask, Chelsea. I know you're... It must be the skin. I don't know what the shot. The skin doesn't help it the first time. right? So it can't just be that it's skin. It's going to be more the nature of the absorption. Anyway, and Mando Amar Aser, and the first Brisa, which says that if you cover them together, that's Kishukvosh and Zerachazat. You first put the tummy first, and then you put it. So that you, again, you have the first absorption is going to be Iser. Tadal Chashu Kain, another proof to this is the fact in the Mishnah it says that Taninon of a Beitruma Aser, the Mishnah, the Gemara itself points to the case of the Beitruma. The Beitruma, it says, it's Aser. What's going on in Beitruma? What happened in Beitruma? We talk about, right? Well, it doesn't say halalas explicitly, but we saw that was a machlokes. But Pitsue Zaysim, certainly it says it's Feirish in the Mishnah, is Aser.
So, he says Shleibim.
Yeah.
It has to be Shleibim, otherwise there's no Chiddush, because you're talking about Dagim Shleibim.
Yeah, but we saw that it was machlokes. The Rash held that it was Mutter, it was Mutter then also.
Yeah, but I thought I thought the pshat in this particular thing was like, it was one of the footnotes pointed it out, this problem. That when it came to Shleimim, only Pitsue were Aser. Pitsue were Mutter. But the Diyuk was, it said nothing about Mei Truma with Shleimim.
I know, that's what we're talking about.
And I think that's what the Gemaras mean. Means here,
which that only works out according to
exactly,
some.
According to that reason, but I'm pointing out.
Yeah.
It fits in very nice with this Gemara.
Yes, I agree with you. It works better. The Gemara works better. We'll learn it the way Dov has in his Hebrew that we're talking about Shleiman. So that way, at least it's a match to the whole fish, the whole olives. Let's make it match, okay? So therefore. Aren't we talking about where they were soaked together? So that's the proof that that's the case. Okay? That's Tzadik Dalet on the base. We're going to go now to Tzadik Hamun Aleph. Let me just close the...